This morning's public reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 15 to 24 this morning. Please follow along as I read from God's Word. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man bade a great supper, and bade many. And sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servants came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servants said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Amen. Now, if you go to the average church this morning and you heard the pastor quote this portion of the Bible as his text, he would mainly focus on verses 16 to verse 20. And there he will bring up all the excuses that contemporary men use today in not coming to Christ. And he'll point out the fact that the man that bought a piece of land. This would be sometimes viewed as a man or a person who's involved in real estate, involved in making money and such. And then he'll bring forth that this man really didn't have all of his marbles in the same box, because he's going to buy the land before he even looks at it. And the pastor will bring that out to you. Then the next thing is those that have jobs and professions in the agricultural industry, those that take care of animals or raise animals for whatever means of gain. And notice, he'll bring out the fact that this person buys these yoke of oxen before even proving them, showing how foolish that this man is. And then he's going to tell you in verse 20 that most people don't come to Christ because of domestic issues, domestic obligations, the pressure of having a home. And then they'll go into that, and then they'll give an invitation and see how many people are going to come forward and say the sinner's prayer, and they'll call it a day. Really? Really? You've just taken verses 16 and 20 out of its context. Notice verse 15. When one of them that sat at meat with him, so this is still based on chapter 14, we're still following in its context. This is in the context of that same meal that Jesus is having that's referred to way back yonder in verse 1. One of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now remember, what was the Jewish concept of the kingdom of God in the first century? It had nothing to do with a suffering Messiah or a suffering Savior. Their concept of the King, the Messiah King who was to come on a white stallion leading an army to vanquish Roman dominance. That was the view of first century Judaism. A conquering Messiah King, not one that would die like a criminal on a Roman cross. Far, far from it. Then said he unto him, so now Jesus is going to give this parable. A certain man made a great supper and bade or invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say unto them, now notice, those that were obeyed are now further defined to them that were bidden, those who were invited. Come, for all things are now ready. This is a key to understanding what Jesus here is saying. Now, people can take it out of context and use verses 16 to verse 20 in a modern application of raising all the reasons why men don't want to get saved or come to Christ. But that's injustice to the context. Who do you think were the ones who had first top priority in this invitation to come to the great supper of this certain man? The Jews. What is the old cliche? Unto the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. Now, Pastor Bob, how do you get that? How do you verify that this is actually talking about the Jews in that first century? Unto the Jews first. The ones who were actually bidden. And so therefore, it was the Jews that were making all of these excuses in verses 16 down to verse 20. Now granted, men today may use the same excuses, but that's not the context of Luke 14, 15 to verse 25. We got to be careful on how we handle the scriptures. Who is Jesus addressing? Who is he describing? He's describing first century Judaism. 1 John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, right? He came unto his own. What do we find in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11? How does Paul answer this great dilemma? Why are first century Jews so hostile and so resistant to the gospel? He explains that in part blindness has fallen upon Israel in order to invoke jealousy upon them with the what? The conversion and the incorporation of the Gentiles into the body of Christ. And what caused that blindness? Their high treason of killing their Messiah king. What did they tell Pontius Pilate in John 19? We have no king but Caesar. And if you let this man go free, lock, stock, and barrel, you are no friend of Caesar's. We have no king but Caesar. That was a bold-faced lie. But it was quite convenient to use in this political jockeying between them and Pilate in order to get rid of Jesus. Now, how do I know it was the Jews? Well, how does the parable end? Verse 24. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So, who had first dibs to the supper? Not the Gentiles. God's ancient covenant people, the Jews, brethren according to the flesh, with their brother Jesus according to the flesh. And notice, when there was plenty of room available, in verses 21, bring in the poor, bring in the maimed, the halt, and the blind. That refers to the ones that Jesus was healing. They were the ones that were quite receptive to him. And then further, when there was still plenty of room, what did we find? Go into the highways and hedges. That's the Gentiles. Go out beyond. Go out beyond the nation. Compel them to come in, that my house may be full. And the word compel in the Greek means to constrain. To constrain. Constrain them to come in. And I believe this parable has to do with Israel, first century Judaism, first century Judaism's rejection of their Messiah king, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Read that again in Romans 9, 10, and 11. To the Jews belong what? The oracles, the promises, the fathers, the scriptures, right? All the blessings came to them and them alone. Out of all the nations of the world, God only chose them, correct? And through that nation, we would have two blessings, the Old Testament text and the Messiah. That is what Judaism, biblical Judaism, gave to us. But by the time first century Judaism reaches the stage, it has been totally perverted by the doctrines of men and the traditions of men, of the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers, who rejected the scriptures but devised their own concocted traditions and interpretations. That's why they were unable to recognize their Messiah King. Well, beloved, they may shake up a few people, but again, verses 15, but that verse 24 seals it. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden, the ones who had the initial invitation, are not going to taste of my supper. And guess what? Some of that was fulfilled in AD 70 when that temple and that city were destroyed and burned and toppled to the ground. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word.